Hello and welcome to the Digital Insight, the technology, procurement and supply chain podcast that delivers valuable C-level perspective into the core issues surrounding business transformation and digital disruption. Each episode will bring you the most inspiring executive insights from those who are leading transformation strategies within the world's biggest and best known companies. The Digital Insight. Disrupt. Transform. Evolve.
Welcome to the Digital Insight, the official podcast series for CPO Strategy and Interface Magazines. Today, I'm joined by John Vass, the Global Industry Lead at Tradeshift, as we talk about procurement technology and the shifting perspectives within procurement and supply chain towards technology and how it has changed the way in which organizations connect and engage with suppliers. We also discuss John's role as a panelist at Asia's Pacific Procurement Congress 2019, which looked at how organizations can navigate the increasing complexities which make procurement more challenging than ever before. John, welcome to the Digital Insight. So, John, if you, as a way of sort of kicking things off, then can you kind of give me a bit of an overview as to your background, your career journey, you know, particularly in the supply chain and procurement space, and how you find yourself in your current role?
Yes, certainly. So, I kicked off my career in this space in 2004, and there was a e-procurement arm of a company called Bidvest Logistics, and they brought over a solution they created in South Africa called My Market. And My Market was really targeted at aggregating a number of suppliers from the hospitality industry so that a hotel chain or a restaurant chain could go on to My Market and procure the things that they needed, whether they be kind of food, non-food, what have you, from various sources in one list, press the button and off it goes, and shoots off to all these different ERP systems and creates the orders. So it was very, very basic back then. It was a SaaS solution. So I think that was probably one of the first SaaS solutions that we had. Obviously had Ariba before us, but it was very basic, but it was kicked off there. Did that for a number of years, and I've kind of worked in tech and various bits of technology between then and now. So working in supply chain technology with regards to logistics and mobile sales, deliveries and payments. So it all kind of ties into finance and procurement, and also had a stint at Workday, which, they're known for their HR, but also actually they have finance and procurement within their ERP offering. So that's kind of, my career in a nutshell. At Tradeshift, I've been here for 3.5 years, and I participated in a number of thought leadership programs at Tradeshift, and done a number of public speaking events, presentations, specifically around procurement. And indeed, I was at the APAC Procurement Congress last week on a panel.
Oh, fantastic. And, you've said it yourself there that you've been involved in a number of technology roles pretty much all of your career. And looking then specifically at that and the procurement and the supply chain conversation, obviously it goes without saying that in that time, it's changed a lot and technology has been the key driver of that change. This is a very broad question, but how would you say, or what would you say are some of the biggest shifts that have happened in the supply chain and procurement space, thanks to technology? So if you could go back and speak to yourself then, what's different now?
I think that there's been a huge shift in terms of technology, and actually the functionality that's taking place hasn't really changed, right? So if you think about a sourcing event or, receiving an invoice electronically, some of those technologies, especially things like EDI, have been around for 30 years. So the actual functional piece of it, it looks a lot nicer nowadays. It's delivered in a much faster, easier to consume way. But what you're actually doing is fairly similar. The biggest shift is the thought process around the technology. So rather than using a technology just for doing something tactical, it's actually being used to connect with your supply base. So whereas previously I've just talked about the company I used to work for in 2004 that had a very rudimentary procurement solution, that technology was really around how can I procure electronically, right? And it's no different from kind of you going onto Amazon nowadays and you think, oh, what's the big deal? But back then it was a little bit more of a big deal. And it was very tactical, very functional. Does it do X, Y, Z? Nowadays, organizations, or the forward-thinking organizations, are really looking at technologies which reach out to their entire constituency. So they understand that procurement is actually a participation of the supply chain. The supply chain is a much bigger, broader place than the four walls in which, you know, that particular company, that particular procurement organization live in, and therefore they need to connect with that constituency, with that supply chain holistically in order to get the best out of it.
And this is a bit of a continuation from that, but, you know, and sticking with that part of it, then looking at the procurement and the supply chain, the whole perspective has changed, and hasn't it? So obviously we're looking at technology, but just generally, how is that aligned with, well, actually, procurement and supply chain now in recent years has been, a lot of money has been spent in kind of centralizing it and almost bringing it to the top of the business as the key value creator.
Yeah, exactly. I think that a few CPOs have realized that, you know, that they would like to have maybe a seat at the board. And previously that was very difficult. A CPO was seen as somebody who would help basically get things cheaper. So there has been a big shift from that. And again, as I've just mentioned, the looking at your suppliers, how to connect with your supplier base, how to communicate with your vendors and, you know, and collaborate with them and innovate with them in terms of moving that organization forward is the kind of the new way of doing it. So if you think about, you know, what a CEO is interested in, the CEO is interested in shareholders and the long-term plans for the business and the revenue and, you know, environmental impacts and those types of things. And the CFO is interested in similar sort of financial incentives, you know, how well the company has performed, share price, etc. The CPO, in order for them to align with the business, needs to be interested in the same things as the CEO and the CFO, right? And quite often they're not, but I think there's been a big shift towards actually being more aligned with those goals rather than being more aligned with cost saving. Because if you optimize for cost saving, your output is going to be cost saving rather than innovation and growth.
So looking then back then at sort of the broad scope of your career, you know, you've obviously worked in a number of companies and you've seen the shifting landscape and the shifting perspective and approach to procurement and supply chain happen, you know, firsthand. How, if you could sort of sum up, does that influence and inform your decision-making, you know, and what you do now with Tradeshift?
So the changes I've seen that have come in sort of into fruition over the years have really kind of formed an opinion that the industry and the technology is moving towards the way that I've described in terms of collaboration with the supply base rather than being very insular and inward looking. But prior to joining Tradeshift, I'd really yet to see an organization that has really managed to nail that. So I think if you look at some of the bigger technology players or traditional technology players, I'll just pick Ariba as an example. It could be another example. You know, that they have very much focused on, you know, an organization's procurement team and their requirements and looking at themselves rather than looking at the outside world. And, you know, the thought process was, okay, you've got to connect with the supply base, you've got to connect with your constituency. How do we do that? When I came across Tradeshift, the story was they're going to connect every single company in the world. That's the mission. And it's free for a supplier to connect. Even a cabinet maker in Bangladesh, which I believe has actually happened, it has, you know, has managed to connect on Tradeshift. And that, you know, is commerce for all. And that's the real key messages that hit home to me because, you know, I've been to various events and heard various thought leadership around that. But then, and as Tradeshift came to fruition, someone was actually doing something about it. Somebody was actually putting the supplier first. Somebody was actually thinking about how to get the supplier base to participate in all of these incentives. So, yeah, these incentives have been available for years, but the supplier base haven't really participated, or certainly, you know, the majority of supplier base haven't, just because they haven't, you know, they've been asked to pay. It's been difficult. You know, they've got, you know, 50 different logins from all their customers, and they're, you know, they're very confused and it's not an optimal way of participating. So Tradeshift has really, really changed that, and certainly changed my opinion on the way or how quickly, I should say, that this sort of technology is evolving. And since joining, of course, I've learned more and been on a journey with Tradeshift as well.
You know, sticking with that technology then, you know, you said there that Tradeshift has really kind of, you know, to put it simply, has really changed that conversation and really sort of brought people along. You know, looking at the supply base and looking at the kind of people that Tradeshift works with and looking at the kind of technology conversation, it goes without saying that obviously more and more people now, more and more organizations are becoming more, you know, technically savvy. Their digital maturity is kind of, you know, far better than what it was perhaps, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. I'm trying to think of the best way to word this. Looking at it just generally, is there still a sense of some companies kind of a bit more afraid to embrace technology, or perhaps not afraid, but reluctant because they don't quite have the knowledge base there or the requisite skills to sort of successfully embrace that change?
To be honest with you, most organizations are willing to embrace technology. They want to embrace technology. Most organizations now have a transformation team where they might have a procurement transformation team, they might have a finance transformation team, they might just have somebody who sits within the IT that's responsible for transformation. So the intention is there. What I think happened is maybe they've tried it once and it didn't work, so therefore they've quit, right? And as we know, you know, you have to fail a few times in order to succeed, right? When you see success, that's just the tip of the iceberg, and there's many failures behind that. And I think organizations have been scared off because they've had failures in the past. And the reason they've had failures is really because, and I think I'm just repeating myself here, but that they've looked at technology as something that benefits them. So what does this look like for me, for my team? You know, is this button the way I want it? Does this fulfill the functionality that I want? And they've compared different technologies on the same criteria. But actually, what's been missing, and I think this is starting to change now, and again, I think is, again, I'm just talking about the same subject, which is, you know, how does that actually connect with the supply base? How do the suppliers, how do the vendors, you know, interact with that? How do they bring value into your organization? How do they collaborate with you? And I think that's the, you know, that's certainly the big thing that's happened or is starting to happen. But, you know, most organizations still are looking at technology as something that they use. And I think when we go around talking to organizations, generally speaking, we're educating them on this. There are a few CPOs that are already on board with this, and they know that it's the way to go. And then it makes it a very easy conversation for us. And maybe they've already started innovating in this area as well, right? Maybe they've tried to do something themselves, which is fantastic. And, you know, certainly the right direction. And I see many organizations that maybe will look to technology to use robotics in place of humans. So rather than thinking, well, you know, this task is tough because we're not getting the suppliers to connect and provide this information, therefore we have to do it ourselves. We're paying people. Let's not pay people. Let's use a robot. And I've seen some very interesting technologies around robotics. I think robotics is basically replacing a person. So, you know, turning a person from, you know, into metal and essentially doing the same thing, which is, you know, it does provide a lot of efficiencies. What it doesn't do is connect with the supply base, right? Because the supply base aren't robots, they're humans, and that they still need to be providing information into the organization in an efficient way. That would still be the solution rather than having a robot do that. So, you know, I think a lot of organizations have adopted some more traditional procurement technologies, and their frustrations are always the same, or largely always the same, which is great. We've got 15% of our supply base connected. They happen to be some of the larger suppliers, so it has provided some efficiencies, but the rest of them don't use it. Therefore, we process manually, and that technology is maybe touching 15% of their suppliers. Whereas actually you want your technology and you want your outreach to touch as close to 100% as you could possibly have, right? And I think most people, it doesn't matter, you know, if whether you're tech savvy or not, you've probably got a mobile phone. You know, think about some of the smaller suppliers. They might not have SAP or Oracle running their back end systems, but they've got a mobile phone in their pocket. And if you can be in touch with the supplier in the same way they're in touch with Facebook and LinkedIn and, you know, text messages and email on their phone, then you can connect with them and get them to contribute and participate in your incentive.
You raise an interesting point then, you know, when you mention a lot of people, a lot of companies are looking into robotics, and this sort of lends itself to a broader question about, we hear a number of technology words being thrown around there. So robotics being one of them, artificial intelligence, machine learning. And I guess this sort of, because you've had such a technical background, it's easy for you to see that and understand it. But as you said, people are becoming more tech savvy. But, you know, you also said that, you use the phrase that, you know, organizations are looking to replace people. Now, obviously, that might mean it's just changing their roles. But how do you go about communicating that in a way that they can understand that while this process is being, you know, automated, it's not making that person or that person's role redundant. It's just freeing them up to be able to, you know, offer more value and get something else done more efficiently.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that the first thing is, before we talk about the technology and how to communicate that, is how, you know, that you're talking about people's roles and, you know, how they can provide value to their organizations that they're working in. Tactical procurement, you know, running an RFP every year, spending 4 months doing it to see if you can get, you know, a few pounds, dollars or euros off your office chairs, probably actually isn't a good use of time. You might feel good after at the end of it because you've saved some money, but actually, the whole cost of doing that, and actually the cost of you doing that instead of something more strategic, is way higher. You know, if the CFO's office is going to change, then everybody is going to be working towards the company goals. You know, the ones I mentioned earlier on, more in line with the goals of the CEO and the CFO, rather than, you know, through a cost saving incentive. So once people's roles are starting to change, you know, in terms of what their targets are, what their KPIs are, then we can start talking about technology. And of course, then they're happy for technology to provide efficiencies and automation, because then that frees them up to do those more strategic tasks which they're actually being targeted on. So it kind of comes hand in hand. But in terms of the way you would explain these technologies, it's no more difficult than a mobile phone. If you think about what a mobile phone does, it's actually amazing when you break it down. Yet we intuitively just start using it. I think the revolution was really the iPhone and then the iPad. The iPad really changed computing because, you know, my granddad uses an iPad. I don't think he's ever used a Microsoft PC, but he certainly uses an iPad and didn't need much training to be able to do that. And you know, I see, you know, 5 and 6 year olds using iPads better than I can. So it's about changing that technology discussion. And what we're actually asking people, you know, you're asking people to do is no more difficult than using an iPad if you're looking at the right sort of technology. I think maybe some of the historic, more traditional technologies don't lend themselves to that and therefore are seen as complicated. You know, when you still need to have training in order to be able to use it, and it seems maybe a little bit scary to some people. But I think with some of the more modern technologies, you know, people can fire up an app or just open up a web app on a browser and they don't need any training and they can start using it, then I think that's what really, really changes things. And it's not just the buying organization, it's just not just the procurement team that applies to. It applies to everybody in the supply chain. So again, I think a lot of procurement organizations will say, okay, well, how easy is that for us to use? But if you think about it, your supplier is going to get zero training, zero help in order to participate in this incentive you're asking, you know, you're giving them. You're basically saying, you know, come into our world, use this technology. And of course, it has to be the same. It has to be super, super easy, you know, running as a web app or an app on a phone, and something intuitive that they don't need an instruction manual to use. And then all of a sudden, technology becomes their friend, and then it becomes a much more comfortable situation because there's no difference to using their phone. And everybody's comfortable using Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and there's no reason why B2B technology should be any different.
Is there a challenge then with arguably so many technologies out there that all, you know, have their place and all can bring value? Is there a challenge for an organization then perhaps to sort of make sure that they are investing in the right technologies rather than just saying, well, you know, our competitors are using this tech, we need to use it too?
Absolutely. So I mean, people tend to use the term best practice. I think once something becomes best practice, it means that lots of people are doing it. Therefore, by default, is average. If you are a organization, a forward-thinking organization, you don't want to be average because you need to start competing in a different way. So, you know, I think we've all heard the figure that 52% of the Fortune 500 companies have disappeared. The life expectancy of a Fortune 500 company is now 16 years, and that's falling. So, you know, organizations have to do something different. You know, we all know the Blockbuster story about, you know, how they needed to be more agile. You know, we've all heard about how the Dollar Shave Club really shook up the Gillette brand by doing something different. And, you know, organizations need to be doing something different. And that applies to how you buy things as well as, you know, how you sell things, how you innovate, because you're dealing with your supply chain. And that supply chain is going to help you move your organization forward no matter what you do.
So one technology then that I know is something that you sort of specialize in, and it's one that, again, you could argue is a bit of a buzzword, but obviously it's more than that, is cloud. Particularly looking at the procurement space and supply chain space, but just generally the tech conversation, you know, data is, I don't want to use the cliche, but, you know, data is the new oil. Data is the thing that helping really unlock value for a business. You know, talk to me a little bit about, I don't want to say the cloud landscape, but people's opinions and approaches to cloud now. Like, are people more aware and more understanding of as to what it, you know, what it means to their business, or is it still sort of something that people just see and go, well, cloud's something, let's do it?
I think cloud was a little bit more of a something that, you know, most organizations were looking to. That was how it was a few years ago. Nowadays, I think cloud is the default, and everybody knows that. But there are different types of clouds. So the kind of cloud technology that organizations should be looking at is really, you know, true cloud is where you have one version of a system that everybody in the world uses, right? And everybody's on that version, because that's how else are you going to share your data? How else are you going to collaborate? Especially, you know, talking about procurement, you're talking about sharing data with your constituency, with your supply base. You know, how else are you going to share that data unless, you know, the entire globe is using one cloud system? So I think everybody wants cloud or has it. And it's certainly, you know, if they don't, it's definitely where they're going to go. There isn't any argument about that whatsoever. Even the security argument has gone out the window, right? We're seeing lots of companies with on-premise systems being hacked, yet therefore not, you know, no one's really getting into Amazon Web Services, but they're getting onto on-premise systems and hacking them. And you see these scandals in the media about this. And I think organizations understand that you know, the security argument is over, and that cloud is the way forward. But just doing a lift and shift probably isn't the right way of doing it as well. And I think, you know, I don't think cloud's a buzzword anymore, but there's certainly a lack of understanding in terms of what it can mean. If you take your on-premise systems and host them somewhere else, you know, it's not really cloud. True cloud is where you have a way of collaborating with the rest of the world, and that's the value of it, because everybody's accessing the same thing.
So let's look at then at your role. Like you say, you mentioned at the very start that last week you were at the Asia Pacific Procurement Conference, you know, and I believe you said you were on a panel. Can you talk to me a little bit about your role there and essentially sum up exactly what you were doing there and what kind of was the sort of the key messages that came from that?
Yeah, so the panel I was on was really around the subject we're talking about now, and it was about how the CPO could elevate their status and, you know, get a seat at the board, get a seat at the table, and in strategic thinking of, you know, how they can move from what they're doing at the moment, which is a little bit more tactical. A lot of them are still doing some things that are very tactical and look at more forward-thinking strategic objectives. So they might be looking at, you know, how they can innovate with their supply base, how they communicate with their suppliers, and then in the sort of like medium to long term, how they can actually make the company more profitable through procurement innovation rather than cost savings.
So looking broadly then at conferences such as APAC, you know, and how important is it for people, particularly in the procurement, you know, and supply chain space, to have these sort of platforms, you know, to have these events that can pull people together, like you said earlier about best practices, but to be able to share best practices, to, you know, share knowledge, to look at successes and failures, and to look at really what's happening in the global space. Because someone once told me a while ago, and he was a procurement professional, that he found no one talks about procurement enough, but there's so much great things happening in it. So how important is it to have these sort of events and to be there and to, you know, be able to touch base with so many people?
Yeah, I mean, I think different events vary quite a lot. This particular event, I think, was excellent, and it was really important for people to attend to understand what's happening. I would say that they're not necessarily sharing best practices, because that they don't want to share best practices as such. They don't want to be doing what everybody else is doing. They want to be doing something a little bit different. So they would attend this conference and say, okay, well, you know, you've got an organization here that's doing something really, really different than, you know, that a lot of companies aren't doing. They've implemented robotics, for example, and that's taking care of these processes within procurement, and it allows them then to focus on more strategic objectives, having taken the tactical tasks kind of away from people, or taken some of that manual work away. And, you know, that's just one example, right? There's many more examples of different technologies that are enabling procurement. And, you know, to get, only by really going to these conferences do you get to hear what some of the industry leaders are doing. And I think with the procurement leaders one, they also provide awards for the best people in the industry. And to go along to that, I think most organizations or most CPOs would learn a lot from going to these type of events, where everybody is talking about this, you know, just from a very consultative perspective, right? They're you know, it's not a sales thing, or, you know, it's very much thought leadership. And at this particular conference we went to in Singapore last week, it was probably, you know, one of the most advanced conferences I've been to in terms of the discussions of taking place and the technologies people were talking about, and also the willingness to adopt these types of technologies. And, you know, when you were talking to people, you know, you could see the difference between, you know, maybe another conference that I've been to, people might look a little bit perplexed, whereas at this one, it was clicking into place. People had the right objectives, therefore, when they were looking at these technologies and sharing the information, that it was really clicking into place for them, and they could see how it worked in their organizations. And they were, you know, and it was allowing people to then, and, you know, empower them to be very proactive and go ahead and have a good understanding of what they're going to do, rather than just come back with a bunch of buzzwords. In fact, I think at this particular conference, it was, you know, there weren't many buzzwords being used. You know, blockchain wasn't mentioned once, which is great, because, you know, we all know that things like blockchain are fantastic if you've got a use case for them. And, you know, it's more important to talk about the use case than the actual underlying technology. So, yeah, I would say this particular conference was definitely worth attending, and it was important for people in the region to be there.
It's looking obviously specifically then at, you know, that region just as an example, but again, I've spoken to a number of people who've mentioned conferences they've been to. I've spoken to people who work with the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply Chain, and one of the things we talk about mostly is the maturity in particular regions of the procurement space and the supply chain space, and how these events kind of are a great opportunity to look at just how far the space has come and how well it's doing in that region, but also to continue to further that even more so. I guess the answer is very much so, but how much has, you know, APAC, and how much when you were there, did that play into that you could see just how far the procurement conversation and the supply chain conversation has really come along?
I mean, hugely is the answer, really. I think the conference took place in Singapore, but there's various other, other countries, people from other countries participating. We had people from Saudi Arabia, people from countries nearby like Malaysia and Thailand, people from Japan and China, and other people from Australia. You know, Singapore is actually very, very forward-thinking place. And, you know, it was exciting to see that everybody else coming to the table was bringing something to the table that was forward thinking, and, you know, perhaps a little bit surprised with that, because, you know, I've been to conferences in another part of the world where people are maybe not quite that forward thinking and are bringing so many ideas to the table. So I was pleasantly surprised, and I would say that it was probably, you know, lead certainly, if they're not leading the world, they're almost on the path.
Looking at yourself then on a personal and professional level, how important is it for you to sort of go to these events, to, and not just necessarily go to these events, but kind of have these conversations and read and continuously learn and challenge your own way of thinking, so that, you know, you don't eventually, I don't want to say you don't want to stand still, but, you know, with things evolving so quickly, it could be so easy to kind of get left behind, so to speak. So how important is it for you to, you know, to be at these events and to be within this discussion?
I mean, it's really important to stay fresh and understand what's happening and being on the cutting edge. I think being on the cutting edge is, you know, to do what we do is exceptionally important. And again, it depends on which event you go to. It depends what you're gonna get back from that particular event. So going to this one, personally, I got a lot out of it. I learned a lot of new things. And it's also important, not just from my own development and learning, but from a perspective of, you know, has anything changed in certain areas? You know, has the thought process changed for everybody? And while you might see a percentage shift, it's really interesting to see whereby there's a certain subset of people, organizations that are still thinking in a certain way. So when, we were on the panel and, you know, certain people were talking, they're getting very excited about this technology that they were deploying in their organization. And it was very cool technology, I have to say. But they were just thinking about themselves. They were just thinking about them and their organization, which I think is quite natural. And I think that's just the way we've been programmed almost over the years. But there wasn't one mention of suppliers and the supply base and how they would react with this and how they would participate in it. And of course, they're key, right? It's procurement. That's who you're dealing with. And so I think it's really interesting to understand that. And then also maybe help be there to help educate them as well and get them thinking a little bit differently and challenge some of these things, which I did on the panel. I challenged some of these things and said, I think the technology is fantastic. How are you going to link this with your supply base? How are you going to reach out to them? How are you going to get them to use it? You're going to give them another login? I mean, how, you know, onboard them to yet another system? How are you going to do it? And I think that helped them for me to be there and challenge it as well. So it was a bit of a two-way thing, but very important to stay fresh and attend these events.
And final question, which is a bit of a continuation on that, but just, you know, broadly speaking, if someone was to say to you, give me one piece of advice on terms of, not necessarily, you know, what's the advice to be successful, because there's no one way to do it, but just, it's a very complex and ever-changing business landscape, obviously, particularly in procurement. If you could sort of give one piece of advice to someone that said, look, well, this isn't going to guarantee success, this is going to at least help you navigate along the right path, what would you try and say?
I think we've pretty much covered it already. You know, I would say, look at who you're interacting with, both internally and externally, and how those people, whether they be in your organization or other organizations, are going to contribute towards your future success, and, you know, and how they're going to align with your goals and how they're going to move the department forward so that it can be seen as a more strategic department within the organization rather than just a tactical cost saving department. And if you do that, then you open up a whole new area and a new way of thinking. And by saying that, and somebody, perhaps it's a little bit vague. I'm not giving them a website to go to, but what it's doing is getting them thinking perhaps along the right lines of how they might interact with their supply chain in the future. And then when they come across the relevant technologies, they will know themselves whether those technologies enable that or not. And they can ask the right questions as well, right? Rather than just looking at something and, oh, that looks really good. Wouldn't that be great for us? You know, and maybe it'll prompt them to ask the question, oh, okay, that's great, but, you know, how do our suppliers interact with that? What about them? What about our constituency? How do we digitalize our supply chain? How does that, you know, are they going to use it? Can you prove they're going to use it? And that type of thing. So that would be my advice. Look at it holistically, rather than looking at technology as something that, you know, enables feature or a function. Look at it as an enabler for connecting with your supply base.
Thank you for listening to the Digital Insight Podcast in association with the interface.net and cpostrategy.com. The Digital Insight is brought to you by B2E Media Limited. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please remember to subscribe, rate and review. And don't forget to check out our podcast archive at www.b2e-media.com/the Digital Insight.